Revelation chapter 12. Now, let me just remind us of what we have been saying. The Bible says that, that's Hebrews chapter 4. What it said there is that we should draw near to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Now, I want to remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ said that without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Now, let me hear it again. Without me, you can do?
Nothing.
All right. Without me, you can do nothing. And the Christian life is not personal determination. The Christian life is not a life of, I'm looking for the word to use now, resolutions. It's not. It's a life in which you drag yourself and make your, can I use the word, petitions before the Lord, that you are going to God to say, Lord, do this for me. You are not saying, I have the strength to do this for you. I hope you are getting my point. That it's not you that's doing what you are saying for the Lord. It is the Lord that is working his work in your life. That is, when we're talking about these dedications, we are not saying these are things that we are determined to do. We are saying that these are things that we are dedicating ourselves to. And we are saying, Father, let your spirit work this thing out in my life. That's what we are talking about. That is, nobody achieves anything for the Lord with his own strength. Nobody achieves anything for the Lord with his own determination, his own energy. What you do is that you learn the word of God, and the word of God acts on you, and the word of God works the will of God out in your life. Now, let me just say that again, because sometimes I teach, people misunderstand me. And I said that the word of God is not given to us, was not given to us to, please don't misunderstand, all right? The word was not given to us to be. Anytime I say it, it's confusing, initially, until you pay attention to what I'm saying and you listen to it carefully. The word of God is not given to us to obey. It is given to us to believe. You see what I said? The word of God was given to us to believe. Then the word of God works itself out in our lives. You cannot, by your own strength, obey the word of the Lord. You can't. The word of the Lord was given to you to believe. And when you believe it, the word we, how do I say that? The spirit in the word will enter into you and set you on your feet. Now, so obedience is a sign of the extent to which you have believed the word. Obedience is not something you can take credit for. It is, there's a sign to the extent, or let me say, is a sign of the extent to which you have believed. It is not that you have obeyed. It is that you truly have believed. That is, and God never told Israel, obey me. Really. What he said was, pay attention to me. Now, when they are translating it in English, they will say, you are supposed to do what? Obey. But that's the English translation. What he told Israel was to do what? Listen. And this interesting part, in very many languages, at least Yoruba language, which I grew up with, which I can speak very well, if you want to tell somebody he doesn't obey instructions, you most times what you say is he doesn't listen. It is to listen that says, ah, that guy, he doesn't listen. Even in the English language, we say it. We're not transliterate it, we translate to English like that. He does not listen. Because listening is what works out obedience. Do you follow my point? That when you listen, you will obey. And I've noticed something about human beings. They don't like to listen. I was an example earlier today. And you are there, somebody was in front giving instructions. I was just kind of a hall of students. Listen, somebody's giving instructions. Or are you getting my point? Somebody's in front. Then, yes, please, can I? Yeah, please. They are doing something else. And somebody is in front giving instructions. At the end of the day, what's going to happen? They will not do what he said. Why? They are not listening. And that's why, in fact, my wife will testify to this. If I'm talking to her and she's doing anything, I stop. If she picks her phone while I'm talking, I stop talking. You know why? Because human beings have this lie that they lie. Have you heard this lie before? It's a lie. They lie to women that they can multitask. Oh, the glory of a woman, a multitask maker, is a lie. Don't believe it. No human being can do two things effectively if they both require the mind. What you can do is you drive. It's automatic. I've been driving for over 30 years. You get my... Which way? Oh, for over 35 years, I've been driving. So driving is instinctive. I don't think about it. So I can be talking to you and driving, and you will notice you can't have that conversation at a tight junction. Most modern cars have this Bluetooth connection. You put your phone inside your car. Once you enter on the side of the car, it connects to your phone. So it rings, you tap a button on the screen, and the volume fills the car. You talk normally, the person can hear you clearly. So you are driving, you're talking, until you get to a tight junction. Instinctively, you tell the person, please wait. Because suddenly, driving is no longer instinctive. Now you have to scan the road more. You have to make a decision. Am I going? Am I waiting? At that time, you can't do two things. When you don't lie to people that, oh, okay, like you are trying to point out to me, people will lie and say, I'm listening to you. They are not listening. You know the funny thing? They thought or they will think they are hearing you. And if you ask the person right there and then, what did I say? He'll repeat it for you. But what he doesn't know is that it never registers. It doesn't register. That's where arguments will start later. I told you last week, you didn't tell me. But we're here when I was saying, no, I can't remember. If he said anything like that, I can't remember. Why can't he remember? Because while you were talking, he was composing a text. And the magician wants to remember two things. He's feeling like a computer. No, he cannot remember the two things. He can't. You are getting my point? No, you can't. So the key to understanding, I tell students all the time, is what? Pay attention. If you are talking to me, I don't do anything else. If I'm the one you are talking to, I don't do anything else. My wife can testify. If she's talking to me and I'm on the, I'll say, please, I'm about to send off a message. Let me finish. Or I pause. But I will not be doing something that requires my attention while you are talking. You cannot do it successfully. You can't. So what God told Israel was what? Listen. So he says, if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. What he actually said is, if you shall listen, listening. That's what Moses said. If you shall focus diligently on what I am saying. That's all God required. You know why? The rest, the word will work it out. What did David say? Your word, have I done what? I have hidden in my heart. I have laid it up in my heart. Now, if it is laid up there, I will not sin against you. My job is just to do what? Lay it up there. When the time comes, the word will speak. When it's necessary, the word will control my actions. When I need to answer, the word will take over my tongue and speak. What's my job? Lay it up. I just lay the word in my heart. I don't try to obey it. Obedience, like I say, is a sign that I have believed. If I don't obey, therefore, I am not persuaded. And you'll be amazed concerning what you are not fully persuaded concerning. You'll be amazed. Why do we sin against God when nobody is watching? Because we are not convinced he's looking. We think we know that God sees everything. But we are not convinced. One, we are not convinced he's looking. Number two, we're not persuaded he will do anything. That's why, if nobody's watching, we will do it anyway. Know that what that tells you, all right? You fear man more than you fear God. It's not telling you anything more than that. You fear man. You may think, I fear God, though. But whatever you will do when nobody's watching, but you will not do when they are watching, you fear man. You don't fear, no, you don't fear God. But because in man's presence, you won't try it. But in God's presence, you go ahead. What does that tell you? You don't fear God. That's the extent. It shows that you fear God more on that matter. You fear man more on that matter than you fear God. That's all that's said to you. I keep on recommending this book. I don't know. I've been doing that almost every meeting in the last few weeks. That's someone is controlling you. I wish you would understand that we are not the one controlling ourselves. You can control, in quote, what you hear. You can control, so to speak, where you go. For example, you chose to be here is it afternoon or evening? What's the time? Is it afternoon or evening? Evening, right? You chose to be here this evening. Okay, maybe you can control that. But when you are going to make decisions later on important things, it's not you that's doing it. It's the things you have heard. It's the things that has been spoken to you. Things that have been laid up in your heart. You know, how do I say this now? Where you have yielded your heart to in previous times. Those things come together and decide for you what you will do. I always threaten to write a book. You know, I wrote one book on Marriage Matters. Titled, what? Yeah, should I say yes? It was just one book initially. But we decided to break it into two when we did the second edition because people were thinking that it's only for singles. But actually, half of the book is on fundamentals of Christian marriage. So in the second edition, we now broke into two. Now, what I planned before as a follow-up to Should I Say Yes for singles now, I'm not promising I'll do it. In fact, I'm very unlikely to do it. But for a long time, I planned it. I said, before you marry a man or a woman, check what the person believes. Just that what you need to know. What does this fellow believe? That's what you need to know. You don't need to know. Well, it's not very important what he or she is doing now. It's not very important which church or so the person is going now. It's not very important what he or she has now. What is very important is what does he believe? Because that is what decides what the person will do when trouble arises. All of us behave the same way when there's no trouble. It's the challenges we have to face that's what we decide how we behave. That's what will push us. That's what we provoke in ourselves. Actions is what is inside. What am I trying to say? Look, if the man is not broke, anytime he needs money, he writes a check, he gets money. Anytime he needs money, he brings us a card and everything he wants to solve, he's solved. Why would he steal? You won't know he can steal. You won't know he can steal until he's broke. That is when his faith is tested. When he's broke. Will this guy steal or not? It's only when he's broke you will find out. Do you get my point? And sometimes I hear people talk. Even preachers. What we preach and what we believe. Many times are two different things. I don't know anyone, but I've heard of preachers who advise young ladies, if the man is nice, it's okay. And you want to marry. I said a Christian, you are counseling. As long as it's nice. On the pulpit, he will not say that. But when it's counseling, what matter? If the woman said it one day, he said, we have to rethink that doctrine. That's what he said. That Christians cannot marry unbelievers. And he told a few stories of people that married Muslims and the marriages were successful. And his host was trying his best to explain that that's not what he meant. Now, what am I trying to say? When I say, that a demo of the book? Okay, I'm not going to tell you so that you won't be waiting for it. All right. The book I wanted to write, all right? But in the book, what I was trying to say is that, listen, what you need to do is, what does this man believe? That's what you should be gunning for. There were two prominent Nigerian preachers, all right, some years ago. Very prominent. If I mention their names, you will know both of them. Both of them, one after the other, divorced their wives. Now, I've been married for some years, all right? And offenses must come. Are you listening to me? They come. And then one of the things that my friend has a boss he works in America. Says boss said, look, that what you need to do now, this is gonna make you laugh. Well, a senior doctor, maybe not his boss, but he's a doctor. So the guy told him, look, I'll give him advice. That you find a very nice wife. That's very important. And then you will now collect all your money. Be loading the credit card for us to be spending. His logic, now you see what I'm going in the moment. His logic is that, he told my friend, a white man. He explained to my friend, he said, look, now one day you are going to retire. And you are going to see this woman morning, afternoon, and night. So better, he said, is the greatest disease. He was advising my friend that, look, make sure that you have a very correct wife and give her all the money that you have. That once, just make sure that her credit card is always loaded. He said, because one day you're going to retire and you'll see her in the morning, you'll see her in the Now, you see why I remember that story. When I say offenses must come, one of the reasons why, of course, many of you know, this year, last, a few months ago, was my 25th anniversary in marriage. Now, one of the reasons why you will solve all your problems. Now, in fact, I don't solve quarrels anymore, I just forget them. Before, I had this habit, you have to iron that thing out. But now, I don't iron it. Don't worry. Just throw away the cloth. You get my point? You don't need to explain. Just that thing you did yesterday. Hey, look, some of those things have been done every other week for 25 years, and I've not died. So why am I trying to solve it now? You get my point? So one of the things I learned is a few years ago, like the 19th, 20th year, now I learned this one. That don't solve all the problems. Some people say that, look, you have to talk about it, you have to communicate. I say, no, I don't agree. I just believe that some of these things, don't talk about it. Just leave it. Now, all of this, why? Because I know I'm not going anywhere. That's why I told the story of my friend. Because I will see you in the morning. I will see you in the afternoon. I will see you at night. So, what am I going to do? And Satan, when Satan want to make me sad, Satan will come and say, do you know what your wife did 5 years after you got married? Now I don't want to know. Okay, in case you want to remind me, I forgive. Now that forgiveness is not the love of God, it's self-interest. No, there's forgiveness that's for God's sake. There's some that's for my own sake. Okay, am I going to marry another wife now? God forbid, I don't want to. I've told my wife, don't die on me. I can't go through that process. Because, you see, Look. I know how my wife scatters room. I know how she arranges room. I do. There are so many things I know. I don't want to learn again. I don't want a new wife. In Jesus' name, I don't want. Now, please, it's not out of love for my wife, not out of love for God. Lord, I'm not saying you're not important. I'm trying to explain something to your children. This is pure, I don't want a headache. See, I love peace of mind. You've been hearing me preach about it. I love peace of mind. If I don't have a car, I will trek with joy. Rather than not be sleeping and be looking for money to buy. Some people will be looking at them, they'll be looking, this money never complete. They are hustling. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me just stop like that. Now, you know I'm telling all these stories. You see what I'm saying in a moment. All right? My wife, I'm not saying I don't love you. I'm just trying to explain the other side. That I've realized that if you want to be happy in life, there are certain things you just do. Now, because I have that mindset, unconsciously, you may not realize it. It affects how you relate to many things. Now, you see, back to the two men of God I was telling you about. The two men of God. Now, what's the main thing I have in mind? That's my own belief. That I say, what do you believe? I believe that no matter what, I'm not going anywhere. I believe that no matter what, my wife is not going anywhere. For that reason, I better find a way to enjoy the one. Do you get my point? Yeah. But these two men of God, they believed and taught in their Bible schools. I have two of my close friends that attended. One in each one. I got this report from my friends. I didn't get it from somebody that I don't know. I can give you the name. Okay, I'll give you. I won't give you the full names. One has in his name, Austin, Augustine. The other has in his full name, Obioma. So to let you know that they are my friends. I'm not joking. At different times, they told me this. One of them said that why he left that man, one of the reasons he left the church was the things he used to teach behind. That he said to them that there is nothing wrong with a man divorcing his wife if they discover that they are going different directions concerning ministry. Not even a bad thing. That if a wife feels like her primary assignment is to orphans in the cities, so she wants to go to Rivers, Port Harcourt or Abuja, and he feels called all of a sudden to the rural areas. So she just divorce, and then one will go to the city, the other person will go to the rural areas. Yeah. Now, this is the funny part. He did not divorce his wife for almost 20 years after he told my friend this. Almost 20 years passed. From the time my friend reported this one till the divorce of his wife finally happened, it was over almost 20 years. And again, the excuse he gave when he was explaining to people, when he was explaining what really happened, the excuse he gave is that his wife is called of God to go to one direction, he's called to go in another direction. When I heard this, I said, this man preached this thing to his people 20 years ago. The second man of God, the same thing. Again, my friend was in his Bible school. In fact, my friend scattered the class in argument. He didn't talk that thing. They explained. In fact, I'm ashamed to repeat what he told them. In fact, I told my friend that it's you that something is wrong with. When you saw who was teaching, because he's one of the lieutenants, you should have gotten up and left. Do you get my point? Some people say it's pride. That's your problem. I don't think it's pride for me to enter a class and discover a secondary school leaver wants to teach me advanced medicine. I don't know why you're getting my point. This guy just did SS3 yesterday. And now he wants to teach me. the molecular basis of acaptonuria. I chose the name I know you don't know, so that's why I chose that name, all right? So when I said, be humble, I said, no, this is not what the Lord meant by humility. He hasn't studied enough. There are things he needs to learn first before he starts teaching people like me. So that's what I meant when I told my friend, that, you're not serious. You that went to that class, you should have known to leave. Both of them, you know what it is? Okay, the second one, I told you the first one. This one taught their same principle that my friend got angry and refused to graduate from the school. He finished the course, they said certificate, he said, I'm not collecting. Leave me, I don't want a certificate. He was just angry with them. What kind of thing are you people teaching? But they won't teach it in front. The head pastor, along the line, about 20 years also, in fact, his own was about 20, yeah, maybe about 25 years after, he also divorced his wife. And they were talking about irreconcilable differences. I said, no, that's not the problem. The problem is what you believed. That's why I told the story of my friend, my wife and I first. That it's not like we are better people. It's what we believe. That's why I now followed up with the story of these two men. It's not like they are worse people. It's what they believed. That tells you that there are many challenges they could have gone through and they would have surmounted if they believed a different doctrine. Do you get my point? That's what I mean when I say the word of God is not meant to be obeyed. It's meant to be what? Believed. That's not to say that you're supposed to disobey the word of God. No. Obedience is a sign of what you really believe. If you disobey that word, you don't believe it. Because if you believed it, the word will get up by itself and work in your life. If you really believed it, the word, even when you are sleeping, it will work. If you really believed it, when you want to get up to go and disobey the word, it will knock you back. Get my hand, go and lie down there. But when you don't, no, didn't you see how Eve, how Satan made her to disobey God? He came there. As God said, you can't eat of this tree. What did she say? What did she say? She said, indeed, the Lord says, we can't even touch it. I believe her husband added that one. Her husband said, look, just don't go there. We're not supposed to eat, so don't touch it. Because it was to the husband like the direct instruction was given. What did Satan do? Eat it. I tell you, eat it. Was that what he said? Eve had said, the day we eat it, we will surely die. What did Satan say? The only way he could get Eve to disobey was to instigate doubt. That was the only way he could get Eve to disobey. Instigate doubt. So he woke up, packaged a new lie, gave it to Eve, and Eve began to think about it. You won't die. Aha. So they began to discuss the fact that she will not die. Then next time she looked, the tree was what? Beautiful. She could see it. All of a sudden, it's good to make somebody wise. Then she was attracted. All this while, she had no attraction. The tree did not attract her. Adam didn't like the look of the tree. Any tree that looked like that one was automatically not eaten. Look, that's the law of attraction. Any tree in that garden that had the mistake, that made the mistake of looking like that one they were not supposed to eat, those people couldn't eat. Not because they were trying to obey God. You know what happened? It didn't look nice. Assuming that tree, assuming the fruit was purple, right? That's a very common color. They suddenly didn't like purple. If you made a new dress, they wouldn't want purple. There was no dress that time, so I know what I'm saying. I'm just trying to illustrate. they color purple will suddenly not be attractive. If the woman is painting and she uses color, the color purple, tell the husband, what do you really think? The man will say, it's not fine. And he won't know why he said so. But you know the real reason he said so? Because that color purple reminded him unconsciously of the tree they are not supposed to eat. That's how life is. That is how life is. That's how you create what you call beautiful. That's how you create for yourself what you call fine. That's all. There's always a reference in the mind. There's something in the mind. We studied in psychology then. That's what they call Oedipus complex. Oedipus being that. Anyway, it's a long story. Let me not start on that. Now, the point I'm making is this. Eve could not eat it as long as she was thinking of what God said. So, what did Satan do? Force her? No. Just made her believe something else. That's why you have to be careful. That's why God said, woe to him that calls good evil and calls evil good. Because once you call it good, and I see sometimes, you know, I've talked to people who live abroad a lot of times. I've talked to them. And please, if you're listening from abroad, be very careful. What I'm about to say, be very careful. Now, Donald Trump. The American president, Donald Trump, most of us Africans seem to like him. It's, you know, we just seem to like him for obvious reasons. It's not because of anything more than the LGBT agenda that Barack Obama and co. were pushing on us. He said no. So all those things that, can a man marry a man? Can somebody say an adult man become a woman and all of that, transgender? He said no. So we are breathing easy because those guys put pressure to spread that thing worldwide. They put pressure. Don't think it's just ordinary. No. They put pressure. All right? You see where I'm going in a moment. Now, when you talk to those who live abroad, they usually don't like him. What is the reason? He stands on immigration. They believe he's racist. A friend of mine said, now my daughters have to be careful when they walk on the road because of this man. Why? Because they are black and they feel like they are going to be victimized by, of course, they feel like those who are, what do you call them, white supremacists, all right? White supremacists that they've been emboldened by him. Now, this is where I'm going. This is what I said we should be careful about. Now, if you are living abroad, be careful about what I'm about to say now. Now, what they normally say, what they say often, is that it is you people in Nigeria that the LGBT agenda bothers. Did you hear what I said? It's you people it bothers. Here, now listen, I've heard this. Here, we have learned to accept it. These are words I've heard. I've seen the justification some have given. You see, you can't be judgmental. You don't know what somebody has gone through. And these are arguments I've had with people. You see, they've deadened your revolt. The way you... give me the correct English words. Repulsion. Okay, let's use repulsion. I was looking for another word, but let's use that one. Repulsion is good. They've deadened your repulsion. The way you just turn over, the way you revolt against those things, they've deadened it. Why is that? Say you should be careful. It won't happen in your generation. It's not a prayer. They were saying amen. I'm warning some people. Don't worry about your generation. That's not what they're after. But that's your attitude. It puts your next generation in danger. That's where I'm going. Suddenly, the next generation is in danger. Why? Because unconsciously, you have begun to accept. unconsciously what was wrong. Now, you won't accept it right now, okay? But suddenly, you are no longer, it's no longer like, you know, the Bible uses the word abomination for them. It's no longer abominable. After all, your boss in the office, that's what he is. After all, your co-worker in the department, that's what he is. One day, one of our sisters, she lives in the U.S. She didn't know when she bought plane ticket for herself and her son and came home. She didn't went back home. His fear gripped her. Do you know why? Her son just said to her one day in passing that when I grow up, I'm going to marry my friend. He's a son, all right? I'm going to marry, let's assume his friend's name is Jeff. So I'm going to marry Jeff. That's a little, no, it's a little boy. It's a little boy. A little boy. And he was being innocent. So the mother said, what did you say? What? You can't marry Jeff? He's a boy? The boy said to her, but Miss Phillips is married to, yeah, that's her head teacher, his head teacher in school is married to another woman, two women. So the head teacher is a woman, and she's married to a woman. The woman did not know when she bundled the boy, put him on a plane. We are going to Nigeria. You need detoxification. We have to remove this thing from your brain. Do you get my point? All of this is just subtle inside the heart. See, those guys know what they are doing. Oh, my Father God. There's a way, when we talk about the spirit of the age, you get into a place, you have to fight harder against the spirit of the age in that area. You have to fight harder. So what controls you, I was saying, all right? It's not just what you want to do. It's those little things. Eve did not know. The Bible says she was deceived. Before she knew what's happening, she had taken of the fruit. This is something she did not want to eat before, but she had been what? Deceived. So, now let me now get back to what I was saying. So for those of us who are believers, all right? It's not what is like this series we are doing. It's a dedication we are dedicating. We are saying to the Lord, I yield my power. You know, it's like I say I'm driving. I own a car. My life is the car, right? God gave it to me. And I say, dear Lord, please, can I beg? Come and drive. Do you get my point? We are saying, Lord, please, I'm begging you. You, come and drive. I know I think I can drive. But Lord, I'm safer if you are driving. That's what we are saying. So each time we go to God. Now, there's something about the scriptures. In fact, I was reading this man the other day, Oswald Chambers. And he said that, now it's another way, it's the kind of thing I preach, but this is the way he said it, very different. He was trying to infer that the Lord Jesus Christ was not giving us commandments. He was saying to us that if the life of God is manifested in you, this is how you will know it. Do you hear what I said? Let me give an example, just to take one scripture. Let's say, don't be anxious about tomorrow, all right? Chambers was saying that it's not a commandment. It's the expression of the life of God in you manifested. You will lose the ability to worry about tomorrow. So the more you expose yourself, let me just tell those Christians, all right? If you see those things that are not manifesting in your life, you have been paying attention to something else. Do you get what I'm saying? You have been paying attention to something else. See, you're alive, right? You're a human being, you're alive. Amen? Ah, you're not alive? I answer now. Are you alive?
Yes,
ah, well, praise God. But Even with all the threat I just made, if you have not eaten for 2 days, can you answer me? Now, just imagine you have not eaten for 2 days. Now, let's do drama, right? Now, you have not eaten for 2 days. Is that okay? Are you alive? You can't even answer me. Even though you are supposed to, you are here. But you join those who are saying they are doing fasting. Biri biri. And the time, biri biri. They are doing biri biri. You know they call biri biri? No food, no water. And like 4 days, 5 days. Biri biri. That is, this mountain must shift. This devil must move. This thing must end. They will not give you biri biri. Bro, say on second day of biri biri. And I ask you, are you alive? Can you answer me?
No.
Just that, are you alive? You go, they nod. Now, where I'm going is this. Are you born again?
Yes.
Do you have the life of God in you?
Yes.
Are you alive?
Yes.
If you have not fed on the word for these 2 days we are talking about, will you feel alive? Can you see my point? So when you don't find the life of God manifested, it's not because you are dead. It's not because you have not been eaten. If you find another life manifested, not because you're not a believer, but you've been eating something bad. Some people have spiritual diarrhea from spoiled food. Where they get the spoiled food for? Work. They sit you down in the office. Nigeria is dead. And you to open your ear. Give me another spoon. Ah, no future for your children. And you're there feeding on spiritual nonsense. You start making wrong decisions. People will ask, is this one a Christian? No, he's a Christian. He just that he has not eaten. He's on biri biri. You know what they call biri biri? He has not eaten spiritual food for days. So he's talking and he opens his mouth by rubbish. So I don't know what's going on. They complain, grumble, complain about everything. What is going on? I don't get it. But why? He has not been eating. That is why I don't have any doubt in my heart. As a Christian, you don't have an alternative. There's no choice. Let's put it like that. You don't have a choice but go to a living church. You don't have a choice but to go to a place where you hear the real word of God. You don't have a choice than to have a serious Bible study habit. You don't have a choice. I hope you get my point. That is the things we are talking about. These are the manifestations of the life of God, but they will not manifest except they have been fed. Bear that in mind, all right? Let's get back. So that's the reason why we did our 7 dedications. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the notes part where I wrote them. Let's just be reminded, what are they? Or should I look at my notes? Yes, a deep and serious walk of faith. Number 2. Yeah, prayer with thanksgiving and what? Intercession. Number 3. Yeah, so generally filling our hearts constantly with the word of God. That is just constantly filling our hearts with God's word. Number 4.
To fellowship.
All right. Number 5.
To the circumcision of Moses.
Where we explained all these things before. We'll not go over them now. Number 6. Yeah, the difference between that and having the word dwell in your heart is that God has a specific word for each situation. The other one we mentioned earlier, the word dwelling richly, it covers our normal operation on a day-to-day basis. But there is a specific word for every specific situation in your life. All right? That's what we mean. Then number 7, which we are to do for today. All right, good. I said we should open somewhere at the beginning, right? Where is that? Good. Now, let's not go there. Revelation chapter 12. Let's start from verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Now, how did they overcome? Verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and because they did not love their life even when faced with death. And because they did not love their lives even when faced with death. I'll go back this again. When I was younger, all right, in the faith, it bothered me that Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were placed before the fiery furnace, as the furnace of fire, and they were told to bow to an idol. And they did not. We know the story. And they threw them inside. And I kept on wondering, if it was me, what would I do? See, there's no need pretending. I just asked myself that, if I face that fire, will I be able to stand and say, I will not bow? It bothered me. Because I was just praying for God to postpone the day of fire. Yeah, because I wasn't sure. I mean, you come and meet an Isaac, an Abraham, and say you sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Huh. Amen. You know, it's very easy for us to be, praise, Koposha, Popaya, Payaba, the face of our father, Abraham, is in my heart right now. You mean? Abraham's blessings are mine. Amen. Brethren, if you can't sacrifice Isaac, they ain't yours. Let us get that clear. If you cannot sacrifice Isaac, the blessings are not yours. Just bear it in mind. I thought about it that, will I have been able to sacrifice Isaac? It bothered me that, man, we'll converse. Say, Lord, are you sure you are going to raise him from the dead? Because I ain't killing this boy if I'm not sure. No, see, I had that attitude. You know, I'm being honest with you. I had it in my mind that, look, now, you see where I'm going. But later on, as I became older and I began to understand some things more, I realized something. That those men were not the, just like we said earlier, they were not the ones that did that. They were not the ones that did those things. It was the word in them. Do you get my point? That set them on their feet. Because the Spirit rides upon the word. The Spirit went, when the Lord spoke to Ezekiel, he said, and set me on my feet. Ezekiel said, the Spirit entered into me and did what? Set me on my feet. So I realized that what I needed to do was to constantly put what? The word in my heart. Then when that time comes, God will do his work. Have I changed concerning the fact that I will be able to stand? Personally, no. I still doubt my ability. However, I have more confidence now in his ability. Now, bear that in mind. You know, when Leah Sharibu, you remember that woman? The young lady? When Leah was taken, why was she not released with the other captives? No, she was a Christian. That's not the reason. What's the reason? They said they should convert. A lot of them were Christian girls, at least from Christian homes, that they should convert to Islam. And the girl refused. The young girl, a teenager, she said no. So they released all her friends and refused to release her. Now, this is where I'm going. Then a lot of people, feeling sorry for her, again, let me remind you of who Satan is. Satan is a fellow that puts your interest first. He puts your interest first before God's interest. That's Satan. Because Jesus, if you ask Jesus, now, we're not going to imagine, we're going to go by what he said. If you ask Jesus, what should this girl do? They are going to ask her tomorrow. What do you think he will say? Tomorrow they are going to ask her to convert to Islam so she can be released. And she can refuse. And you come to Jesus Christ and you say, what should she say? Now, please. Based on what he said, what do you think he will have said to her? You are not sure. I see a lot of mouths are quiet. Thank you. What would he say? Be faithful until death. What he would have said is what? Be faithful until death. He said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. Again, let's repeat that commandment. He said, be faithful until death. So we know he would have said to her that, okay, Leah, under no circumstances should you deny me. Not even for escape. Don't do it. It's the only way you preserve, in quote, your life. It's the only way you will witness effectively to your captors. You think she's the only one God is doing? God has not given up on those people. Not all of them. He has not. Now back to our preachers. So any preacher, any Christian that felt Leah should have been wise and should have denied the Lord to get her deliverance is on Satan's side. Even if you thought so in your heart. You did not say it to Joseph. Just take eye, look your children. Please, oh, these children, don't enjoy me. Oh. When is your turn? It's unconscious. Can you see that? How many of us, don't put up your hand, all right? Don't put up your hand. How many of us are realizing how satanic we are? Now, you want to hear the truth? That is the reason, that's the one reason why the church will not advance. When you have people that are so concerned about preserving their lives. You know, I saw a video. A Jewish rabbi was speaking. He was talking about how they are contending with the Palestinians and the Arab nations around them. He said they had the circumcision. Now follow this. He said they are descendants of Abraham. So what are the advantages we have? Say number one, they are descendants of Abraham. Not according to not their Isaac side, the Ishmael side. He said they are descendants of Abraham. They have the circumcision. Now listen to this. He said they pray 5 times a day. So we're just trying to say, what advantage do we have? He now said, they have those people, the Muslims, the Palestinians, the Arab nations around. He said, they have one thing going for them. They are not afraid to die. He said, how do you tackle a man that's not afraid to die? He said, if you want to use the fact that you are a descendant of Abraham, he said, defender is a descendant also. If you want to use the fact that you pray, he said, he prays 5 times a day. If you want to say you are circumcised, say they are circumcised. He said, what's worse? They are not afraid to die. They are willing to die. They are so hard to fight because for many of them, death is honor. That you died in the pursuit of this goal, you are to be honored. You may laugh at it that there's no 70 virgins in heaven, but he believes it. You may laugh at it, but he believes it. It makes him hard to tackle. And this is the interesting part. It's an eternal principle. Anybody that does not love his life has an advantage. Whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, you have an advantage. Let me drop a word for us again. We've said it many times. If you see the way Southern Christians behave, the land has been donated if they were to follow them to Islam. Thank God we will not let it happen. The way the typical Southern Christian behaves, if some of us amongst us do not rise up and preach the truth, you want to know the truth? The land has been donated to Islam. Bear it in mind. You know, one Islamic cleric, he told them in Britain, he said, they went for a meeting. In the meeting, they were talking about different religions. Inter-religious, you don't know about her. Interfaith, how they can cooperate, how they can relate. The Islamic guy told the Christians there, he said, you guys need this meeting. We don't. There's a matter of time. We will take the land over. We will take it over. This is a matter of time. The land is ours. And he explained to them, it's just a matter of 2 generations maximum. We take it. Now, I was hearing this news. I heard it at least 10 years after he had been declared that the number of practicing Muslims and the number of professing Christians in the UK were the same. This man made this statement at least 10 years after this. I've given you stats now, right? That there was a time that the number of Muslims and the number of professing Christians in the UK had matched each other. 10 years down the line, was when somebody said this. The guy said, look, we don't need this meeting. That what we need is time. You are the guys that need it. We don't need it. That is a matter of time. We are taking everywhere over. Now, when I preach about this, a lot of Christians don't like it. But it's the truth. I said it's the commandment of God. In fact, I heard the reprint say something. He was talking about something else, all right? But listen, what did Satan, God said, Jesus said to Satan, when he was tempting him, get behind me, Satan. So how do we interpret it? Get out. How do we interpret it? Get out. Go away. He said that was not what the Greek said. The Greek said, line up behind. I don't know what you're getting. Line up behind. We hear, get out. Jesus never said that. What he said is what? Line up behind. Take your second position. Now, this is my interpretation. When Christians reject a land, they have the authority of God to take it over. So when you hear all those things that this is Tokyo, when I hear Christians, there was one man who was preaching once, trying to mobilize Christians through politics. And one of the things he was trying to emphasize is the fact that Turkey, when you read the letters to the churches, that's today's Turkey, and it's not Islamic. And I said to him, or wasn't there, I heard the preaching. And after I tell him, I said, look, wait, come. You are contradicting yourself. You came to me now and said, if I don't want to go the way of Turkey, I have to do something. But you forget that the Lord of the church told the church that time what will happen to make them go the way they are now, to make them get to where they are today. And he said it is one. Let me just remember a few. One, you forgot your first love, which somebody has taught that it means love you one another. Number two, give me another one. You are listening to a false doctrine, doctrines of demons. You are listening to Jezebel. Look, Nicolaitans. You are listening to Nicolaitans. Give me. Laodicea. Money was what you were pursuing. You had money. And you felt you were rich. Now, these are the reasons he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. That you are telling me now, to organize politically to ensure that Jesus does not spill me out of his mouth. How is this supposed to work? So when we see a young girl like Leah, we think she's not wise. Instead of her to celebrate the young lady, I said to them that if my wife delivers a girl, don't worry, my children are older than Leah. That experience, okay? Shows you know her children since that time. But I said, if my wife gets pregnant and has a girl as a baby, her name is chosen, Leah. Now, I'm not naming her after the Leah in the Bible. I'm naming her after what? The modern Leah. My reason is because let us recognize again. This, even if we can't do it, even if we don't have the strength, but at least let us recognize that what? This is the right thing to do. At least let us recognize it. Let us recognize that dying for Christ is normal. It's not a strange thing. It's not supposed to be a strange thing. Now, you want to die for Christ, right? You want to hear the truth? I like the way you're laughing. I've not said anything. You've started laughing. I don't blame you for laughing. You can't die for Christ if you are not able to live for him. It's only those who have lived. When I say live now, listen. Before this, what's the mother? This our guy, Abraham. Before he let Isaac go. Before he agreed to sacrifice Isaac. You know the first thing he did? He let Ishmael go. Do you get my point? You want to die for Jesus Christ? You can't lose your money for him. I said something the other time that people complain to you about Nigeria is a useless country. I said, let them just come and tell you how Nigeria has hindered their worship. I don't know why you hear what I said. Did you hear it well? They come and tell you this country is finished. I said, tell them, ask them why. And you will hear 10 things said, and not one will be related to worship. And that's supposed to be a Christian. Do you think that person can die for Jesus Christ? Jesus should mind himself. No, the Lord has better mind himself. Nobody's he's going to die this death all by himself. Look, you are the savior of the world. Go back to the cross. Go and die again. Because I'm sorry. Lord, I said it like that. But you get my point. What is the point? The point I'm making is this. It's easy for me to preach. Dying for Christ. Hey, wait. There is power to the person who does not love his life. Don't forget. There's power to the church full of people who don't love their lives. Remember, the Lord Jesus told us something. It's the person that seeks to lose his life. Save his life, that we end up losing it. He said, but the person who wants to lose his life, who's willing to lose his life for my sake, bear that in mind. So losing your life for his sake is a different matter. So number one, there's power to the one who does not love his life. Remember, God has given, listen, I don't care how much you like to pray. I don't care how much you love to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you like to groan. If the church is not populated with those who can be faithful even when faced with death, they can never have power. Not against the adversaries. See, they can have power to get a few people healed. They can have power for prosperity, but they will lose their land. Next generation will come, you will not find them. They can know the keys to press, and everybody in church will be driving a Rolls Royce. But their prosperity will not endure to the next generation. It won't. Look, you can't have enemies that don't care whether they lived or died. I remember one movie I saw long ago. Some of you watch movies, you may know it, but I don't know the name of the movie, so it's not like I'm trying to hide it from you. Richard Gere, is that his name? Richard Gere, yeah. He was the main actor in that film, the star of the movie, all right? He said something. He was a very good swordsman, all right? He used to go around, you know, made money by fighting with a sword. He was very good. So he didn't used to kill anybody, just fight, disarm you and all of that. So the best swordsman in a particular village that he got to, he was supposed to fight that person. In a few moves, he disarmed the guy. And that guy was so impressed. So after the whole show was over, he went to meet this main man, Richard Gere. Please, sir, can you teach me the sword fight? I was the best here. Then you came. You don't look like the way you just did this thing. So the guy said, no problem. A few conditions. Number one, now everyone listen to this. Number one, now I can't remember all of it, but you're just trying to remember. The last one, I remember it. Well, I'll tell you. Number one, the guy said, you must be hardworking. That guy looked, said, Oga, walking is my nature. I can walk. Number two, you must be ready to practice morning, afternoon, and night. Say, yes, sir, I can do it. He gave him a number of them. That guy was just agreeing. And said, last of all, you cannot care whether you lived or died. The guy said, yeah? Is that what it takes to learn this thing? Now, that's the last part of it I remember. The guy just told him, you have to know. You can't care whether you lived or died. The guy said, no, I got to live, man. I have to live. No, I have to live. Now, this is the point. You cannot be as good a swordsman as that guy, no matter how much you pray. And the guy gave it to him. You can't care whether you lived or died. And the guy said, no, I'm sorry, I can't take that one. You want to hear the truth again? You cannot conquer a religion in evangelism that's loaded with people that don't care whether they lived or died. Not because their God is more powerful, but because your God will not take you seriously. No, he won't. Look, get it. God is very just. You must understand that. He's very, very just. His own is that in heaven, they contend for these things. That's why God used to pour the blood of the saints upon a land. Why? Because they come to his judgment throne. He will send his missionaries there. They die of malaria. Fine. Nobody killed them, but they died. Now, that's not the point. Then they will say, we need more missionaries. Then the ones at home, we hear that 1/3 of those that were in the first batch, they died of malaria. So the Lord will not be waiting. Are they going to go? If all of them say, we are not going, there's no cure for malaria, that evangelism has died. Why? Because the Spirit is there. All right? All of them are lined up before the judgment throne of God. They are laying claim to that land. And God has nobody to speak. Why? The people he wanted to send, they cared about their lives. So the Spirit said, no. Nobody can come and God will rule. Final decision. No evangelism. But if another wave went, what does that mean? They know they might die, but they feel like the land must hear the gospel. They may end up not dying. But when the territorial, please let me use the word. When the territorial spirits come back to God and say, no, they cannot enter our land. God said, why not? They have poured out their lives unto me. Sorry. Now, let me warn all of you. Nothing touches them. Do you get my point? Those guys will get it. You know, say, oh, they finally found out that dongoyaro can cure malaria. It is the judgment of God. It's the decree of the Almighty that went forth and said, they will not die. You know, we want to take the land in peace. We want to take the land when it's comfortable. We want to take the land when we are happy about it. Is this to give a small offering and send the evangelist to go and preach? And it to when it looks like, This village, they don't have electricity. No, I'm going back to town. So at the end of the day, everybody's saying, what is going on? There's no evangelism there. God said, there's nobody that loves the gospel enough on the front line. There's none. Let me get back to something I was saying earlier. Isaac, don't assume Isaac just woke up in the morning and went and sacrificed Isaac. Sorry. Abraham, I wanted to say. Don't assume that Abraham just woke up in the morning, took Isaac, and went and sacrificed him. No, God is not like that. God said, let's test Abraham. Let him leave Ishmael. Let Ishmael go. Risk the life of Ishmael. That was where Abraham had his practice. The Abraham that cannot let Ishmael go cannot sacrifice Isaac. The Christian that cannot endure ordinary poverty cannot die for the Lord. The one that we are giving bribes to be posted to churches. You didn't hear my point. I make this guy a bishop. And you go amazing. Yes, sir. I'm the Lord, though, not human being. I'm the Lord, Jesus Christ. I made this man bishop to cover a territory. Then you go to him. Time for posting. I just brought your servant something. If he dares carry you to a church where the offering is not big, he now says he's a bad bishop. Now, those kind of persons don't accept to give their lives for the Lord. No. People who cannot, like I was saying earlier, you know, I was saying just a moment ago, let people come to you and come and tell you how bad the country is. Wait for them to mention, ten things that's wrong with the country. Come and meet me. If they mention one thing that affects their worship, let them come and talk to me. If there's one thing, you come and report. If they mention one thing that affects negatively, I mean, their faith, they don't. What does that tell you? They don't care. They will complain about the price of fuel. When it's an opportunity to express your faith, they will complain. They will say we don't have health care. What is that? Beloved count all joy, diverse temptations. They will complain about it. Money is not even enough now. The same thing, same principle. They will tell you, but they will never tell you that we can't worship the way we like. The government is shutting down churches. They won't. That's why I said what I said. That if the way the typical Southern Christian behaves, if that was the way all of us behaved, this land has been given over to Islam. Now, it's not a prayer. And so I don't expect you to say amen or I. Some people say, I reject it. That's not how it is rejected. How it is rejected is that next time you are posted to a village to go and preach the gospel, stay there. That is how you reject. Next time they say, all right, go and preach the gospel, but there's no guarantee of resources. Stay. That's how you reject it. Because death is not only when they cut your neck. Death is not only when you die of malaria. There's death that has to do with your pocket. There's death that has to do with your comfort. There's death that has to do with your children graduate from school on time or they won't. There's death that has to do with your business. There's death that has to do with your career. It's not just your life. There's death in every small area of life. And if you are not willing, for the sake of Jesus Christ, to take death in those areas, brethren, you are not willing, you are not able. Not because of anything, or not because you don't have it, God will not bother to give you grace. Shall I prove it? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they took death with food. Did you notice that? On food matters, they accepted the death. That there's plenty of food, we will not eat it. Everybody was enjoying lavishly. We won't take it. What are we going to eat? Something lean. Water and vegetables. That's what we are going to take. That was the reason why they could stand when they were facing the fiery furnace. I said, these ones, God said, no, no, no. Pour my spirit into them. An angel went there and held them by the side, by the back, like this. Said, bow, let me see. None of them could bow. The spirit had possessed them. They could not bow. But some of us, we have hey, we have eaten. Yeah, man, when you are in Rome, you do like the Romans do. You'll be doing Christianity as you are doing Christian here. Let's eat food. I don't like this guy. Let's eat. It's just food. Food. Let us eat. You know, he says that by the rivers of Babylon, that's there we sat down. When we remember Zion. Remember Zion. Did Jeremiah not say we'll be here for 17 years? Come on. I beg, give me more. When they say stand in front of the furnace. Oh, Bele. If we... Yeah, my guy. The thing will press the guy and say, before the king say, bye. The guy's on the ground. Say, who pushed me? It's nobody pushed you. It's your stomach. Let's rise to our feet and pray. Let us rise to our feet and pray. And say, good day, Lord. I don't even know which words you use. Say, Lord, see the way you have exposed me to me this evening. Lord, help me. Just pray that prayer. It's very simple. Say, Lord, look at the way you have exposed me to me this evening. That's it. Now, let us take a minute. How did you react when Leah did what she did? How did you react? Some of us need to repent. How did you react when Leah did what she did? Some of us need to repent. You know, there was a time you said, Lord, that girl should have been wise, so she should have just denied the Lord. Then when they finish releasing her, she would take her life back and give it to Jesus Christ. You said that in your heart, say to the Lord, I'm sorry. I should never have said that. Say to the Lord, I am sorry. I should never have said that. Say to the Lord, I am sorry. I should never have said it. Give the Lord thanks to that young woman. She did what many of us would not have done. She stood for Jesus Christ. Many of us may not have been able to do that. So why don't you give the Lord thanks for her this evening? So thank you for the example you set for the church in that young woman called Leah. You know, David said concerning Leah, Paul, I wanted to say. He said concerning this man. That one that forsook him, what's his name? Demas. Yeah. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having fallen in love with this present world. He said, Lord, I repent of the love for the world. You know, John said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So I think we should repent of the love of the world. You know this gospel that we are preaching, that has to bring results. Brethren, death is a result. For a man, for a woman to die in the course of the gospel is result. It's not prosperity that's result alone. It's not only prosperity as a result. If we don't have believers who will be faithful until death, the gospel is not going to advance. If the gospel is not going to advance, So you need to pray. Say, Lord, now, this is my dedication. I will be faithful until death. Remember we said it's a dedication. That you are laying your life down in prayer. You are not saying I will do it by my energy. You are saying, Lord, I give you the right to do it in my life. Faithfulness until death. Now, that's a prayer you need to pray. Faithfulness until death. Faithfulness until death. Lord Jesus Christ, faithfulness until death. Say faithfulness until death. Faithfulness until, that's what I have come for this evening. We are not stepping into the level that the Lord wants us to step into. The place where he ordained until he finds Christians, believers, who are willing to be faithful even until death. Is a prayer willing to pray? Let me just read it to us that we used to pray. Verse 9. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. It says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. Now, okay, let me just back up so that we understand. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, the first and the last who was dead, who has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty. He said, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, but are not. What are they? They are just a synagogue of Satan. He said, do not, now listen to this, because you're going to use it to pray. He said, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you'll be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. He said, be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. He now said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Please listen to this. Verse 11 says, this message is not for the church at that time alone. It's for everybody that hears it. He said, whatever the Spirit is saying to the churches, all seven churches, every Christian must pay attention. Now, what did he say to this church? And we must pay attention. Number one, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Number two, he said, do not fear because you are going to prison. He said to them, you will have tribulation for 10 days. Then next, he said, be faithful until death. Now, please, pick your Bibles and use that to pray for the next few minutes. Say, Lord, I'm saying to you, I will not fear whatever I have to suffer for you. In the name of Jesus, help me not to fear. It's a dedication. If I'm cast into prison, help me not to fear. When I'm being tested, no matter the number of days that I face tribulation, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, help me to be faithful. He said, be faithful until death. Now say to your soul, be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. They be faithful until death. Be faithful until death. Like I used to say those days, I said, if I died, I said, I will tell my wife to write on my tomb, the stone. He said, here lies a man who died believing God. Be faithful until death. Tribulations may come. Be faithful. I mean, don't lose. Look, a young woman, they say you won't pass the exam, and you go and sleep with lecturer. Because of what? Is he your type that will die for the gospel? That kind of thing, like, you know, it's not good to do bad things, but then there are times I give the liberty in the name of the Lord, all right? Tell the man, go punish you and walk out on him. Normally, we don't insult the elders, but that's why I said, that one, insult him and walk out, so that he will know that you are not joking. You're not planning to beg. Don't even cry. Remove your shoe and stone him in his face. I said, God, go and die. That's what we mean. You can't lose the job. They said, hey, for the sake of the gospel, hey, you come and type a line because of a job. Ah. Say, I know they do. Yeah, attack me. That's what we're talking about.
Many of us will not face this trial when it comes to a matter of literal killing. But all of us will face death one way or the other for the sake of the gospel. Then this is the word of the Lord. Be faithful until death. And that's the prayer this evening. You are not, like we said at the beginning, we are not praying because it is by our own strength we are going to do it. No. We are not saying, God, I have the strength to do it. He said, without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? Without me, you can do what? Nothing. So as you are saying, Lord, help me to do what I need to do. I'm invoking your strength, your power. If I have to stand for truth, let me be faithful even when faced with death. If I'm tested, nobody should speak in this name again. Let me be faithful even when faced with death. Jesus said, he's the one that wants to preserve his life that will lose it. Say, Lord, please, oh, let me give that life to you again. Do with it whatever you wish. Let me give that life to you again. It's important. You say to the Lord, do with this life whatever you wish. It is not my life, it's yours. I have given my life to Jesus and with him it shall stay. Help me to be faithful. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. Help me, Lord, to be faithful until death. That dedication is very, very important. He said, it is he that overcomes. You know, Christians, sometimes when we are preaching grace, we make it look as if grace means everything comes free. No, it's not true. He said it here, it is he that overcomes that will not be hurt by the second death. It is he that overcomes that will not be hurt by the second death. Oh Lord, I've come this evening to pray so that I will be an overcomer. Say, Lord, I have come to pray so that I will be an overcomer. My prayer this evening is so that to the end that I will be an overcomer. The spirit of boldness. Now for a moment, let's meditate on, you know, Ananias, Azariah, Mishael. Those three men that were faced. For a moment, just meditate on them, on their lives. They were faced with the fiery furnace, and they were supposed to worship another God. If it's many of us, you know what we will say? In my heart, I'm not bowing down. Let's pray to the Lord. Let me not deny you before men. It's a simple prayer. Lord, I don't want to deny you before men. Jesus said that if anyone denies me, if anybody is ashamed of me, he said, I will be ashamed of him before my Father and his holy angels. You need to pray this evening. Say, dear Father, I don't want to be ashamed of you. I'm praying for that spirit of boldness. That same spirit that entered into Peter and Co. Just a few nights ago, they were running when they said, look, they were denying. All of them ran and left him alone. He said, you sound like a Galilean. I can hear it from your voice. You are one of them. He began to deny him with an oath. He began to swear, but the Holy Spirit had not yet come. A few days later, when the Spirit came upon him, they told them not to preach in his name. No, they would not even stop. Why? They had been filled with the Spirit. They had been filled with the Spirit. So pray this evening. Say, Lord, that same Spirit, fill me with it. That's a prayer. Say, Lord, that same Spirit that filled Peter and his gang. Let me use that word. The same people that ran away a few days before, this time around, they couldn't stop talking. This time around, they couldn't stop talking. Even the people said, wait, they have been with Jesus. No, that was not the issue. The real thing was they had been filled with the Spirit. That's the real thing. The real thing that happened was they had become filled with the Spirit. So this evening, you are saying, Lord, fill me afresh. fill me with the Spirit. The Spirit that will not deny you. The Spirit of the overcomer. The Spirit that will be faithful, even when faced with death. The Spirit that will be faithful, even when faced with death. Now, this evening, that's what we're asking God for. Lord, a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. No, we talked about the seven dedication of the thirsty soul. Say, Lord, I'm thirsty. We need to pray that prayer, please, brethren. Say, Lord, I'm thirsty. I don't want to be on the same level. This is a new season for me. I don't want to be Is it wish-wash Christian? I don't want to be lukewarm, neither here nor there. That people don't know what I stand for. I'm pursuing what everybody is running after. Abba. I'm running after what everybody is running after. What will Jesus do now if he doesn't have people who are faithful, who are willing to follow him to the very end, who are willing to leave the world behind so that they can just be pleasing to him, who are willing to deny themselves, who are willing to deny their flesh. Sometimes when I hear the explanations people have for some things that they permit Christians to do, they say, this flesh is still strong. This flesh is still strong. That's what the problem is. The flesh is still strong. When you start hearing things like preachers telling somebody, because the wife is sick, you should go and marry a second wife. Habba. I'm not saying it's easy. It is so that the man will not be tempted. Boy, he took an oath now. Keep the standard up there. Let the man face the standard. Let God help him. It's called grace. We start behaving like the people of the world. We can't take suffering. Did Jesus not say some have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake? And they can't be kingdom manifested when people are not willing. When we are not willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. When we are not willing to suffer for the kingdom. That if a Christian is pursuing his ministry, if he doesn't have money, everybody's giving him advice. Everybody's giving him advice. Instead of them to be taking an example. And what's the advice? That he should abandon what God has called him to do and go and do something else. Did Paul not say to Timothy, endure hardness as a true soldier of Christ? Now our prayer this evening, Lord, give me that spirit. Is that spirit I'm asking for? I'm not saying I can do it by myself. After all, Peter ran at the time. But a few days later, he was there, boldly declaring the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why? He has been filled with the Spirit. Say, Lord, that Spirit is what I've come to receive this evening. The Spirit of faithfulness. The Spirit of faithfulness. The Spirit that does not love his life, even when faced with death. Let's just begin to give the Lord thanks. I'll read the scripture to us. Isaiah chapter 11, and then we'll begin to give thanks. So then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord.
Notice that verse 3. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Let me just complete reading that section, verse 5. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Now, I want to, with this scripture, just say, Father God, I receive this spirit this evening. That's the spirit I'm receiving. That's the spirit I'm receiving. That's the spirit I'm receiving. Say, that's the spirit I'm receiving. As we finish this prayer series on the seventh dedication of the thirsty soul, say, Lord, thank you. Begin to give the Lord thanks. Because it's a new level. It's a new level. It's a new level for me now. It's a new level. Say to the Lord, it's a new level for me. It's a new level. It's a new level. It's a new level for me now. A new level of dedication. A new level of dedication to the Word of God. A new level of dedication to faith. Give the Lord thanks for it. A new level. A new level. A new level to the circumcision of Moses. My life is now going to be lived more than ever before for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Whatever I am now is by the power of God working through me. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Yeah, that's what I want to quote. He said, nevertheless I live. Now say it with Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. Now say it with Paul. Now, I didn't say repeat after me. Just use the prayer the way Paul said it. He said, nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died, gave himself up for me. Say, I have been crucified with Christ, but I live. Henceforth, my whole life is going to be lived by the faith of the Son of God. That's it. Say, Lord, I receive the Spirit, a fresh infilling of that Spirit. That same spirit that Peter received and began to speak with boldness. That same spirit that the whole church received. And they left that place declaring the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Declaring that name, and nobody could stop them. And nobody could stop them. That was why the church was able to heal the sick. They had given their life totally. They had given their lives totally. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Open your mouth and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Open your mouth with thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank the Lord for his mercies. Thank the Lord. Because you have an infilling, a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God, that Spirit of God will carry you through. The Bible says, faithful is he who has called you. He will see you through. He will carry you through. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I have that grace. I have the wisdom. I have the enablement to go forward despite the adversity of what life is. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Say, Lord, I thank you that nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am carrying through. I am carrying through. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I am carrying through. I am carrying through in the name of Jesus. Say, the love of the world is dead in me. Say, Lord, I thank you because I do not love the world. No more. No more. Thank you, Jesus, that I do not love the world. I do not love the world. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said that the enemy comes, but he has nothing in him. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because from henceforth, that is my testimony. Father, I thank you that I live for Christ indeed. I live for Christ indeed in all things, in every way, in my daily decisions. In my daily decisions, in my thoughts, I live for Christ only. I live to please Christ. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. This is School of Prayer. So we have to continue in that spirit. Amen. Anytime you come here, you receive instruction on how to pray. Please take it and run with it. Not just for today, not just for this week. Praise the Lord. You have received instruction. Next year, you will need it. Praise the Lord. You realize you are feeling tired, you are feeling faint. You realize that you have begun to love the things of the world. You see a decision, like Pastor said about Leah Shaibu, you see a decision on TV that somebody took for Christ, and you feel a slight disdain within you for that decision. It's time to pray. Praise the Lord. You get up again and begin to rededicate yourself to consecration, even unto death. You do that again and again. Like we have understood today, if you do not consecrate yourself unto death, you are wasting your time. Praise the Lord. So the Lord will help us. We will not waste our time in serving the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Our service to the Lord will not be in vain. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Please let us remember that Bible study continues on Saturday by 7:30 a.m. So I want to encourage you, those that are watching us, to join us online. And for those of us that are here, I believe you will be here. Amen. And the Lord will bless you as you do so in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's take our grace as we normally do when we come here. As we round up the meeting, let's go. One, two, go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil. Because we are seated high above with Christ, this is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Give that to somebody by your side. Personalize it for yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Cheer up, brethren.